The Burt Show.
Angie Woods is here, the dog whisperer. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Good morning.
Phone lines, as always, lit up for you. But I'm going to butt in here on the first one. And that's the most important one. I've got this new puppy, and he really is fantastic. But I think we've got a whole alpha dog thing going on right now, and everybody's trying to figure out exactly who's on the hierarchy and all that. And he's having a problem with the kids. I see him nipping at the kids all the time.
Yep.
I think he and I have an understanding.
Right.
But he's nipping at the kids all the time, and I've got a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old, and they're not real aggressive about telling him to stop.
Exactly.
And even when they say no, it's in such a high voice that the dog's like, that's laughable. What do you mean no?
Well, you have a bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Stubborn.
So, stubborn. Yep. Yep. He's not nipping at you.
Nope.
Not nipping at mom.
Nope.
Just the kids. So
just
the
kids.
He knows the kids are kids. You know, they're really, really young. And a couple of things, you guys are going to have to step up to the plate and do it for the kids. Okay? So if you kind of think about mama dog and her puppies, I mean, she does things for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you needed to kind of do it by proxy. And so how does a dog correct a dog?
Usually like yelps, barks, or snaps.
They kind of snap. Yeah, actually the yelping one is the weak one.
Okay,
because a lot of people will tell you, like, if the dog nips you to kind of to yelp yourself and turn away, that would make you weak.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big believer in kind of giving them, like, the little bump with your fingertips. Now, a bulldog, how old are we now? About 12, 13 weeks?
12, 13 weeks, yeah. But he's like almost, you know, he's 25 pounds, 26 pounds.
Yeah, he's going to be a big bulldog, yeah. So you're going to have to kind of step in. You have to kind of throw a brick in his thought. You know, you got to be able to, like, bump him. And kind
or
of, like,
literally
over...
throw a brick at him.
No. We don't ever want to hurt the baby. But you do kind of want to snap him out of it. Like, an adult dog would snap at him. You're just going to emulate that snap.
Should I bite him? Should I literally just...
Show your gums.
Right,
I'm not going to use my teeth.
Describe what that action is. You said, like, poking him with your fingers?
With your fingertips only. Because you'll never hurt him with your fingertips. Never a closed fist. Never an open hand. But just a nice, sharp little bump with your fingertips.
Okay.
And somewhere that... You know, for a bulldog, like, his neck is not going to matter.
Right.
Probably, you know, over his shoulders, maybe, you know, that little ribby area, but not hurtful, just enough to break his thought. And then he ought to turn around and look at you, and then you hold your eye contact. That means, don't do that to my babies.
Does that mean that he'll continue to screw with him when I'm not around eventually? Or
eventually he'll learn, don't do it at all. But then training the kids, like, not to scream, not to yell, and things like that. Because, I mean, it's normal when a puppy is nipping on you and hanging from your skin.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually excites him. So you always have to think about what kind of energy you're bringing to a situation. And for the kids to be yipping and yapping, you know, that makes him more and more excited. So teaching them to calm down while you guys handle it, the puppy will learn, be submissive to the kids.
And Hayden could learn it. Hollis is too young, but Hayden could learn to say no and do the finger poke, right?
He's such not an aggressive. He's such a passive kid, though.
But he could, I mean, but you could coach him on that. Like, he is cognitive enough, like, he would get it.
Uh-huh.
He would totally get what he's supposed to do. And then maybe Hollis follows Hayden's lead, too.
Yeah. Right now, they're just jumping up on the couch. The dog comes by, and they jump on the couch, and they excite the dog.
And it's a great game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun for the dog.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Here is Becky. Good morning, Becky. You are on with Angie Woods, the Atlanta Dog Whisperer.
Good morning.
Good morning. We have American Staffordshire Terriers, and we have one dog that has been in our home, and we just introduced the second dog.
Okay.
Male, female, and the male was just introduced, and my male dog will not stop humping my I mean, it's constant.
Right. Well, a couple of things. Humping is not always a bad thing. And number one, he's a boy dog. And this is the way boy dogs introduce themselves to girl dogs. Okay.
Very aggressive.
Yes. Now,
is anything really that different from humans?
Not at all. So, I mean, you have to allow some of that because that is kind of a proper introduction. It doesn't mean, I mean, yes, it's a dominance thing, but it doesn't mean that it's aggressive dominance by any mean. I mean, there's different humps. One is a sexual thing, of course. The second one is a flat out dominance thing, which can lead to aggression. And the third one is, I'm really fond of you. You know, I just like you. And that's probably what you're seeing there. Now, you should be able to control it, kind of like the little bump that you just told me, you know, you heard me speak of with the bulldog puppy.
Right. We've tried that, you know, and it works somewhat, but it's, I mean, it's constant. And, you know, it's getting really annoying.
How did you handle that guy who kept junk pressing you, Javi? Because I'm thinking you could
use her fingertips. I gave him a stab right in the neck.
She gave him her phone number, actually. How about furniture? Like, I've seen dogs humping furniture.
Well, in lieu of another dog, sometimes they'll choose a pillow, a stuffed animal, furniture.
Really good looking ottoman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a question for you. I met this couple at the dog park the other day, and she's expecting. Like, it looks like she's about maybe a month or two away from being due. And they have a golden doodle that's like the apple of her eye, and the couple's just like obsessed and gives this dog so much attention. She was concerned what to do before the new baby came into the house.
I've got you.
Because she knew all of a sudden this baby was going to get all of her attention, but normally it's her dog baby that gets all the attention.
Right.
And she didn't want the dog to feel slighted.
Oh, I've got you. Well, I mean, a couple things. It's more important what you do when the baby comes in the house. You know, a proper introduction. So the dog sees the baby really as more dominant. You know, and the dog can become submissive to the baby, because most people come in and they like present the baby to the dog. Right? Think about, there again, go back to nature and what a mommy dog does with her puppies. Is anybody allowed around the puppies for the first few weeks? No. So see, I kind of set that up, and the dog won't feel slighted at all. Those are human emotions that, there again, we're putting on the dog. You know how we talk about that a lot? The dog will be totally cool with it.
There were some that were saying before our first was born that you should play sound effects for the dog of a baby so he gets used to that.
Right, right. You know, those there again are the kind of human things, you know. I mean, the dogs can get a little excited with babies crying and things like that, but your baby's going to sound different than the baby on the tape. So my opinion is just kind of come in and deal with it in real time with the real baby.
Okay. So don't do anything.
Not necessary. Yeah.
Hey, Debbie, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Hey. Good morning.
I have got a mix. We've been told she's Rhodesian Ridgeback / Lab.
Okay.
She has got some personality traits that are just really strange. One thing is that when we first got her, we wanted to take her picture.
Okay.
She wouldn't let us. We do not have one picture of this dog. She runs and hides. But then, even now, when you say the word picture or camera, she knows and runs and hides.
Is she a shy personality in general?
In general, yeah, but pretty outgoing, and when she gets out, she wants to see everything.
Okay.
See everybody.
Well, I said she's a little bit shy, then pointing that camera at her, you know, I speak about eye contact a lot, and eye contact, like, puts pressure on the animal, especially a shy animal. And the camera, I mean, think about it, it's kind of an extension of your eye, and you're poking it at her and pointing it at her, and just makes her feel uneasy. Exactly, exactly. So you can get her accustomed to things like that, but I maybe would bring the camera near her without necessarily taking a picture for a while and just acclimate her to it. And then maybe it may not be a big deal. Other than that, nice zoom lens.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to do like paparazzi.
Paparazzi.
Paparazzi
shots.
Somebody just
stole that from me.
He's going to register the name right now.
I'm done.
Rachel, good morning. You are on with Angie Wood. She is the Atlanta Dog Whisperer.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning. I'm calling in regards to it's my mother's friend that she works with. My mom had asked me about it, because, I mean, I work in animal hospitals, but I didn't know what to tell her. But the dog keeps jumping up on the table and peeing all over her decorative napkins.
Oh, my.
Weird.
Is it just the napkins, or is it other tables also?
It's the napkins, yeah. I don't know why, but, I mean, it's jumped on the counter before and peed all over the stuff that's on the counter, but mostly it's the table.
That's really absurd. This is the first, I have to say. Yeah, because I've heard of dogs, you know, jumping on top of your bed or even sofas and things like that.
She just got married to her husband, and she's like, it's either me or the dog. You got to get rid of the dog if the dog keeps peeing.
It's very passive aggressive, and I don't really like conflict too much either. So when Stacey and I get in our next fight, I'm just going to start peeing all over like her decorative napkins.
It may work.
Whoopee, baby.
I had a friend whose dog would pee in his suitcase if he was getting ready to go on a trip.
Really?
And the dog knew he was leaving. He would jump up on the bed. You know, you put the suitcase on the bed when you load it, and he would have to. He would have to leave the dog out of the room while he packed.
Packed the suitcase,
because he's like, well, I was like, well, you just closed it. He goes, I did that. You peed on top of it. So the guy spent like $1,000 on suitcases in 6 months.
Well, I mean,
that's just stupidity for buying that.
Yours is different.
Well, my
Why
first
would you spend
instinct
that much on a suitcase?
My first instinct for both the suitcase and the table tell me something's going on in the anxiety family. You know, I mean, that's not normal. So is it a new behavior? I mean, something that just started?
Well, yeah, she thinks maybe that it's because, you know, they just got married. They've been married for a year, but they didn't live together or anything. So, I mean, I don't know if it was him introducing a new woman into the house. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Is it a female dog?
No, it's a boy.
Okay. Well, I mean, my first response would be anxiety of some shape, form, or fashion. And, you know, that needs to kind of be worked on in its core. So,
What should she do?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things. I talk a lot about exercise and keeping the dog tired so the dog doesn't feel anxious, you know. So
looking at that counter and going, I can't get up there. I'm beat.
No, it's true. Like, tired dogs are much more well-behaved.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, otherwise, you know, if they spend all of their day in the house and the yard, they use that pent-up energy in a really negative way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're fearful, you'll be more fearful. If you're anxious, you'll be more anxious. Hmm. If you're aggressive, you'll be more aggressive. Yeah. So I'd say nice, long, hard walks with the two of you.
Cool.
Or them.
Where can people get more information about you and...
USK9.com. Just be sure you spell out K9, and we'd love to help.
Okay, great. It's always good having you in here.
Thank you.
I say this every time you're in here. We could keep you on here for 2 hours.
Yeah, easily.
Phone lines light up all the time with different questions. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You in again, can we ask questions about children, but you answer them using the same techniques?
It's really the same thing.
Well, you know,
her advice to me would be just to poke Hayden or Hollis with two fingers.
Like when Hollis comes down the hallway and he's trying to break into your room at night,
right.
You just give him a finger right to the forehead.
It's how I raise my three kids.
The Burt Show.
Hi, Mary. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Hey.
Hi, you're on The Voice Disguiser.
Okay.
All right, so a difficult conversation ahead with some of your best friends.
Yes.
Okay, why don't you tell us about it?
Now you go.
Okay. They have a puppy who's monstrous and crazy, that they pretty much keep pooping in its crate about 80% of the time.
Okay.
And which is normal. I mean, you go to work and you put your dog in its crate, but on the weekends it's still in its crate, and it doesn't seem like it bothers them to get home, take it out, put it back in its crate. Take it out, and then it's bedtime, and it's back in its crate. So I just feel like, maybe should I say something? Do I not? Is that normal? Is that how most dogs live their life? I don't know.
All right, let's get some more details here. How long are we talking about crate time during the day?
Well, they definitely have the dog in the crate from, you know, normal work hours. And then, you know, sometimes they don't get home right away, so... it's in there longer. And then, you know, on weekends, they're busy, so it's probably in the crate, you know, the same amount of time. So, I mean, on the average, it's probably really only let out, like, maybe 3 or 4 hours a day.
Wow.
And how old is the dog?
Probably, like, I mean, not even a year yet.
So, I assume they're trying to crate train the dog? Or is that their intention?
I mean, it's probably definitely crate trained, but they just have it in the crate so it doesn't, you know, tear up the house or anything while they're gone.
Are they just really, really busy people and they just don't have time for a dog even though they got a dog?
Yeah. I mean, they love the dog, and they're not like abusive in any way. It's just, I mean, kind of neglectful.
They just don't have the time for it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, but I mean, you can't, I don't think they realize that that's not the way that's not normal, you know?
Is this their first puppy? Like, are they taking this crate training thing to such an extreme because they just don't know what they're doing, or do they just not have the time?
I don't think so, yeah. They don't have time.
Have either of them had pets before?
Yes.
See, if it was because Bert kind of was, you know, following up on what I was asking, because the age of the dog is what's confusing me. If it's intending to do it...
Mm-hmm.
Or if they just don't care, and I can't tell the difference.
You got to be really careful here, because some people will be as offended by you commenting on their dog as they would your parenting skills with a child.
I think people would be. I think they would be. I think it's almost a guarantee they will be as offended, because even if it's something to do with their house, you're taking something that is part of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're taking care of something, whether it's a child, a plant, a pet, a house, or whatever. That's an extension of you. So if somebody came to you and said, you're not fixing your house right, you kill all your plants, you're doing this to your dog, people are going to, that's a slap.
Hey, Amanda, good morning. You're on Q100.
Tough conversation.
Hi there. I actually have two working dogs that are in the crate with me all the time. They come out to play, They get out for, 30 minutes at a time. I play with them, but they're working dogs, and they're in that crate all the time unless I take them out to play. So,
what does that mean, a working dog?
I do Schutzen with my dogs.
You do what?
You do what?
It's called Schutzen. It's a dog sport where we do tracking, obedience, and protection work.
Okay.
And so my dogs are in my crate all the time, and it's really offensive when people, come up to me and they're like, "Oh, your dog's in a cage. It never gets out." My dogs are perfectly happy in their cage, and they're just as happy to get out and play with me.
How many hours a day is the dog out of the cage? Crate?
I would say, they only come out to play, so I'd probably say an hour, hour and a half.
The entire
all day?
In a 24-hour span, they're only outside the crate for an hour and a half?
They can also go outside in the backyard for a while as well, sometimes an hour. So sometimes they get 2.5 hours. But they go out, and he goes, my older dog, he's 3, he can go on mile runs with me when I take him out with my horse. So they get out a lot, though, during the day. So that's a normal thing for an actual working dog. When you look at police dogs, same thing. Those dogs are in that car all day long. They go home. They go in a 5x5 kennel.
Wow. Is that because when they're out of the crate, they have to be focused on the job at hand?
Yes.
They can't be distracted?
Right.
Wow.
Okay, so let's say we do the research and we find out that's accurate. Chances are pretty good here that Mary's neighbors don't have dogs that are working dogs like yours. Mm-hmm. So what is the amount of time that a dog should be in a crate throughout the day?
If that's their personal choice to do that with their dog, there's nothing wrong with that.
It just seems kind of
it's kind of unfair, though. A dog is supposed to run and have energy and work that energy off.
But she doesn't know that they're not doing that with that dog.
Do you know that, Mary?
I'm sorry?
Mary, do you know that?
Do I know what?
Are they doing stuff with the dog outside of the crate and for how many hours a day you're looking at?
No, they're really not.
Because my thing is, instead of going to them and criticizing, I totally agree with Jeff, that you're going to get instant resentment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That girl was bitter when she was telling us about it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I think that you should offer to take the dog out and play. Hey, I'd love your dog, and I'd love to spend time with your dog if you don't mind. Can I have some time to play with it?
The problem with that is then you almost feel... But then you almost feel obligated, then it becomes your dog, too, but you don't get to keep it, and then... You want to go out of town for a week, and you're like, oh, my God, but who's going to take care of the dog that's not mine?
Can you make suggestions to them? Hey, I discovered this dog park the other day. You should really take little Scruffy over there. Or, this might be a really great idea for Scruffy to have a better attitude. I read about this.
I'd be insulted by that.
I think you can make subtle suggestions.
Yeah, I definitely think positive is more of the way to go.
I think anything will be interpreted as... I know better than you for your dog.
Most are calling up offended by the whole crate training thing. They want to defend the crate training.
Okay.
Which I don't think is really the debate here. I think we all understand that.
Mm-hmm. But the quantity of time.
Crate time is a little odd.
Hey, Randy, go ahead.
Hey, listen, I do raise dogs and for show, but it depends on the type of dog, and it also depends on if there's any entertainment, while they're in the crate. But it... basically sounds like to me that they really don't really have time for a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the suggestion, go over and ask if you could play with the dog, or if you could take the dog to a dog park, and at least that would get the dog out. They would notice that you actually are having a good time with the dog. They might want to go along.
I just remember what you said in the beginning. Didn't you say it was a kind of a crazy dog?
Yeah, the dog... is insane crazy because it's cooped up all day long.
Yeah, of course it's crazy. It's not getting any exercise.
Did you tell us what kind of dog it was? I forget.
No, I didn't.
Can you tell us?
No.
Well, is it like a dog that would need... I have an English bulldog. That thing doesn't care if it walks 10 feet. But a boxer has to get a lot of running and a lot of exercise, so it is a dog that needs a lot of exercise?
Well, it's a dog that needs, it doesn't need a lot of exercise, but it needs, a lot of human interaction.
Is it big or little?
It's a medium-sized dog.
Okay.
Probably, around 60 pounds.
All right, one more call on this.
That's kind of big.
That's a big dog.
That's a big, big, big. Yeah.
Wow, what are you going to say? Especially a crazy 60-pound dog. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Keenan, good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for calling. What's up?
I am currently crate training my puppy. He's 3 months old, and he's 22 pounds, and there's a routine. And if she doesn't know the routine that her friend's going through, they might have a full routine. My dog, he ends up being out about 8 hours, so it's an even split a day. I work full-time, but I'm up at 5:30 to first let him out, and then he's back in the crate for about an hour so I can sleep. And then he's in the crate for about 5 hours. I go home for lunch. He's out for another hour, but then he's back in for 5 more hours when I'm back at work. And then he's out for the rest of the day.
So what are you saying? Unless she knows more details, just to not say anything at all?
Exactly, because if she doesn't know the routine that the dog that they're doing with their dog, it's kind of offensive for her to go and say you're being cruel to your dog, because crate training is valid for a working home with your pet. It mm-hmm. teaches them discipline, and it's helpful. It's healthy for the dog, too, because they could get into things. They could bite cords. They could damage them. They could hurt themselves.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the crate train, for sure. Yeah. It's just the amount of time that...
Yeah. You're letting your dog out every couple of hours, and if they're not doing that, then it's...
It's kind of unfair. Because, like, Gigi, my dog, you know, prefers the crate. So we have a crate that she will go into on her own because she likes the safety of it, because she's a little more timid than Sully. But I think she's happy. So I think the personality of this dog shows that something's not right,
yeah,
because the dog is not disciplined, and the dog is not, you know, behaving itself, not comfortable with people, you know?
But you can't say that to somebody. Mm-mm. She's going to tick them off.
Nobody really calling to give you, like, solid advice on exactly how to approach him, except maybe the only example that we got was volunteer to take the dog for a walk or exercise the dog yourself, and maybe they'll catch on. But outside of that, nobody wants a part of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
How close are you with these people?
Pretty close.
Oh, because I was going to say, if you're not too close, go out in a blaze of glory. You know what?
If you're going to do it right.
The Burt Show.
It's producer Joanna's at Mike Music.
I should have done this song for the T-Pain application thing.
Yeah.
Couldn't mess up the words on this one.
No.
Is this the weekend you're supposed to wear that deal?
The dress?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
tomorrow.
Okay.
So my brother's getting married tomorrow. And for some of you that may not know, I wasn't originally in the wedding, but I talked about it on the air. And then about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, my brother and his fiance came in studio and surprised me to tell me.
Very sweet.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was so excited. And they surprised me and told me I was going to be in the wedding. And that day, I went to David's Bridal and for the fitting of the bridesmaid's dress.
This is what, 3-4 weeks ago? 6 weeks ago?
It was like a month ago, at least. So when I went in for the fitting, the smallest size that they had for me to try on was a size five. And it was a little tight, but I was like, well, I haven't really been in this workout routine. I'm going to get back into my workout routine. So let me do a size smaller, because I'm sure I'll, you know, lose a few pounds by then. Not that I need to. Not like I'm like, oh, I need to go on a diet. Just I thought that I would be working out.
Is that pretty common where women will set a goal weight based on getting into the wedding dress? Because that's a great motivation by humiliation. You got to get in that dress and you got to look good. So you use that as your motivation.
You use it for wedding, for bridesmaid, for your skinny jeans you sell. I mean, there's a poll that came
out
today. 74% of women have clothes in their closet that they cannot fit in
because
they think in their mind, you know what? And I've done it. Yeah, I'm going to fit in that again. No, I'm not.
I just did that the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
saw a pair of pants, tried them on. I was like, oh, I can't fit in these anymore.
Yeah. Diet!
But I'm going to keep them.
But you hung them back up, didn't you?
I hung them back up and looked at them. I'm like, I'm going to get in you again.
Yeah. Back on the shelf. Because you're mine, baby.
Well, so I told the lady, I was like, let's go ahead and order, because they have to order the dress from a different store, because this store didn't have the other size. And they didn't have a smaller size for me to try on. So I was like, well, let's just go a size down. And they ordered it, and it came in this week, and I went and picked it up, and I'm afraid it's not going to fit because I haven't been on any workout routine. I haven't been eating right.
Obviously.
It's actually a polar
opposite. That was coming from Jeff.
Yes.
That was over there.
That's fine.
Okay.
That was the kettle or the pot or both.
Why you got to bring race into it?
No more little analogy.
It's just cooking.
Yeah, you're done.
It's cooking.
you can't get any of them right.
In the worst part is that I thought she ordered me a size 4, but she actually ordered me a size 2.
Oh, no.
So we're like another size smaller than I originally thought.
You're a six. You suggested four. She bought two.
Yes.
That's not good.
Wow. Oh,
so,
wow,
and you have not tried it on yet.
And the wedding's tomorrow?
Okay, so this is the thing. If it's too small, I'm hoping that maybe I can get... Don't they have something to kind of squeeze you together?
Sizers? Spanx and stuff?
Spanx?
Yeah.
That'll help a little, get a corset. That might... you pull those threads in the back.
And it doesn't help because tonight we're going to eat Italian, and Italian's my favorite food, so I'm not going to not be able to eat for the next 2 days to fit into this thing.
But you're also not going to put 4 pounds on in the next 2 days just
to
eat pasta.
Still, you don't want to stand up there with a dress that's way too tight, and then everybody else looks great, and I ruin her wedding picture because my dress is too tight.
Is there any potential that David's Bridal, like one of the locations around here, would have this dress in a bigger size?
No, they didn't have, nobody in the area had it. They had to order it from like somewhere out west.
Okay.
Oh. Hmm.
Well, now that it's a size two, can you call them panicked and tell them, oh my God, I didn't want two, I wanted four, and you've upset me so much, I've eaten myself up to a six.
Save that.
And then give them to and then get them to FedEx you one.
No, this one took the day I ordered. It was a month ago, and it just came in this week.
And the wedding's tomorrow?
Yes.
All right, so we're doing one of a couple of different things. People are calling up now to tell you how you can lose that weight, like in 6 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Huh. Jade, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, I know that people do European body wraps, and it's supposed to lose a couple dress sizes. So why don't you try that?
A lot of that water weight, isn't that what those European body wraps are for? Is that it sort of drains you of your water weight, which could be like 6-8 pounds like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe so. And they say that it works really, really good. I know a couple of ladies who have done it, and they swear by it. And then on top of it, they say that it doesn't, if you drink water, it doesn't come right back. It'll actually last for, a little while. And so it's designed to where if you have that one-time event that you need to just
dehydrate yourself to death.
That was my next question. Will it come right back on as soon as I eat something?
You don't have to worry about that, though.
No, they said that it doesn't. They said that I don't remember or really think that it did.
You need to look at it from what time to what time on what day?
Tomorrow,
and from what time to what
all
time?
All day long, I need to look good.
Because you're going to be in that
dress
all day.
Yeah, and then what about when I'm eating? I don't want something to pop as I'm stuffing myself with wedding cake.
And you're going to be sitting some of the time, too.
Yes.
And that's the worst part about a tight dress is sitting down.
Yeah.
You're like a plank where you just lean back.
I'm just going to lean against the wall and eat my dinner. Mom.
Don't worry about this.
I don't want to take up a place setting. I'm fine. I'll just lean right
just the rigor mortis.
That's
cool.
Right.
You could be like one of those.
I'm about to pass out, but don't worry about me. Just lean me up against the wall.
You could be a high school wrestler and put the blanket over your head and sit next to the heater and spit.
Run the stairs and spit the entire time.
Yes.
Hey, Allie, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. A little hint about the dress. Mm-hmm. When you have bridesmaids and wedding dresses, they're really snug and everything, but if you will take and put the dress on today and wear it for an hour or two, it'll help stretch it out some. It'll make it looser.
That's a good idea.
So I should wear lunges and stuff around the house in the dress.
No, yeah. I think you should just wear it to...
You did that to yourself. I think you're using good judgment. But I didn't go anywhere near there.
How did that short out all of a sudden like
I
that?
I think I got my eye on you, Carter. I think
pumpkin.
You know hugs. Stretching.
That's really important.
How long would it take you to get into that right now? It'll take you 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15.
I mean, I hope not very long, unless I can't get it over my thighs. This is going to be all
If she goes and she puts that on for you guys, will you be brutally honest with you?
Yeah.
If she thinks that she could lose, if you think she could lose the weight or whatever, do whatever she can in 24 hours.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. As long as you can zip it, you're good to go.
Yeah. The thought is I'm not going to tell Joanna you need to lose weight. I will see, like Jen just said, the thought I had is if she can zip it up, she's good.
Mm-hmm.
If she can't get that zipper up, then she's got problems.
Hey, Nicole. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Hi. First of all, I want to say I've worked in the bridal industry a long time, and bridesmaids always order a size that's too small for them. I don't know why they do that. They don't believe us when we tell them they need a bigger size, but they always do that. So that's the first thing for everyone listening. And the reason we usually tell people to get the dress a little bit bigger than their actual size is so that we can take it in and then make it perfect for their little body.
Okay, your advice is great,
but
it's way too late. Yeah. So what can she do now?
What you can do is you can actually go to a David's Bridal and find a dress that's the same fabric and the same color and just take it to a seamstress, so you need to try it on immediately, and she can add a little gusset to the side of it, and it shouldn't take very long. You could get that done today.
What's a gusset?
A gusset is like a little, they cut fabric out of the other dress and just kind of add it to the side of the dress.
Oh.
You can really tell it had been added. Hmm. And then that way it should fit you just fine. That's just in case it doesn't zip.
Can that be an option for you?
I mean, I guess so. I mean, I have all day. I mean, I get off work today and then I have the rest of the day to do that if that is...
It just seems like such a...
I think she needs to try it on.
It's a violent word to get... Yeah, I need a gusset. On account of all I've been eating. Can you give me a gusset?
Save that too.
Hey, Kelly, go ahead. You're on Q100.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, I got a crazy idea, but when I was joining the Army, when I was going to ship out, I was 5 pounds too heavy. And so I had to wait a week before I could ship out. And so, you know, a couple days beforehand, I tried one of those body wraps, mm-hmm. but also I threw up.
Oh, perfect.
You threw up.
It's like crazy. It's crazy. I'm not bulimic, but what I did is everything I ate, like 2-3 days before I shipped out, I just threw it all up.
No,
we cannot encourage people to throw up.
I'm not. She had a suggestion just like everybody else.
No.
I mean, it works. I'm telling you, you don't. Instead of starving yourself because I know you're going to eat tonight, it works.
Joanna does not need to become bulimic in order to fit the dress.
I am walking out.
Really? This is ridiculous.
Can we do this without it being creepy? Maybe Jeff and I should leave the studio for this. But you go, you put the dress on, and then you bring it back in, but don't zip it all the way up yet.
And then we'll see if it zips.
We'll zip it up.
Okay.
Is that creepier for Jeff and I to be in
here? Is it zip in the back?
Yes.
Oh, no, then it's fine.
Okay, so let's do that. Okay. Go ahead, get in the dress, and then come back and just don't zip it up.
That's the test.
You really think it's safe for us to leave the studio when Steve's in the building?
Yeah, right.
Just to put around your back when you're walking through the halls.
And so be sure Southside Steve is on the air while you're changing, because you know he's going to peek under the stall.
Okay. He's probably already in there.
Yes.
With a webcam.
All right, so she'll come back in here. We'll see if we can get this done.
The Burt Show.